All right, so for those who were wondering about last week, if I made the 5-minute sermon that I promised, I didn't. Okay, it was 8 minutes. But I have a saving grace. That was 5 Puerto Rican minutes, okay?
Sure.
So, anyway, this week we continue on our Genesis journey. And this passage here that we are sharing is basically witnessing to us about a big change. A big change is the change of what I call a change of an era for the people of God. And we hear a story that really changes everything. Because from this point on, things are not as they used to be. Now we heard about Jacob. We've heard about him and the story of the Genesis for us. And we know of the fame that he had built up to now, right? What is he known by? Being a trickster, right? Right? Deceiving to get ahead, to get his way, or at least what he thinks that is his due. And he's portrayed as taking advantage of every situation to get what his father considers to be his rightful place. Now, we know that he tricks his brother, he tricks his father, and then we know in the story that after that, he is tricked himself by Laban, right? He had to work 7 years, and he thought that he was getting Rachel, but Laban is... he just pulled a fast one on him, and he had to work 7 more years to get the one that he wanted. Now, all throughout this experience, I think that Jacob is building something that I believe comes to a stand. It comes to this moment that we read about here. Now, he's worked for getting his inheritance and his father's blessing. And in the culture of the time, those were the most important things that you could get. Once you had your blessing from your father and that you had the inheritance, that meant that you were somebody. It was like, let me see. It was like having your doctorate degree or a law degree, right? Your accomplishment that your parents would be very proud of. In my case, it was just high school, you know. But on top of that, it's like if you, were given the mansion, the patrimony. But what we see here is really tremendous. This is such an important passage to understand in Israel's relationship with God, and even our own. Because up to now, we have seen these characters that are receiving God's call. Remember Abraham, right? That, you know, get God's instructions, do that, go there, and, you remember Noah, right? Build this. And we see these people that are receiving these instructions or receiving this calling from God, and God is leading them, and for the most part, they were obedient. And we see some of these characters in Genesis that were not all that obedient. We know about this guy Adam, right? And Cain, who didn't really please God. But you see, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, these were folks that had this mostly straightforward relationship with God. Albeit it was one of faith and trust. But here we see a man that goes a step beyond. Here we see a man that actually wrestles
with God. Not only that, but he won. Can you, I mean, just think about that. This is a guy that wrestles with God and he wins. And I don't know about you, but when I hear this, I wonder, what is it that we're going to do with this? You know, how can we really adopt, or maybe not, this example from Jacob? I mean, what do we do with this situation which is presented to us? And I first need to establish that a relationship with God is not necessarily linear. It's not necessarily logical. It's not what I call a consumable item. Because God is not straightforward. It's not logical. And it's not consumed. And I'm talking here about, you know, our society as it is. You know, we live in a consumer society, right? Yes. And I can imagine, you know, us going to God and saying, or going to the religious shop and saying, please, can I have three of those? God, I want three. And later when we have something happen in our lives, we can say, you know what, that God that I got, you know, maybe I misspent my money on that. Maybe, you know, that tithing that I've done to now, it's not really worth it. Let me go back and return it, right? My wife does that. You know, she criticizes me for returning stuff all the time. But sometimes we think of God as this figure that we can really just get, right? And God is going to do things for us. Or is it just me? That somehow God is going to solve my problems, deal with all relationship issues in my life. He's going to walk along all my journey and do and help me with the things that I don't understand. I truly believe that having a relationship with God is a real thing. It's not this transactional thing, you see? It has ebbs, it has flow, it has twists, it has turns. Sometimes we think we get it. And the next day, something else happens in our life, and we're like puzzled. And here, we even see that relationship with God even involves the physical interaction. Hello? Yeah. Right? Anybody wrestled in their life?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I know that more of you should have lifted up your hands. Because struggle is hard, and it's part of life. Now, imagine that. Physical interaction. You see, our faith is in God. And this faith in God is a physical thing. It's not a thing about just our minds, because the last thing that I remember about our minds is that it resides where?
In our head.
Somewhere in there.
Right, come on. It's here, right? So if it's here, that means it is in my physical being. Or not?
Yeah.
Right? So this is a physical interaction. It is a physical relationship, even if it's just a matter of thinking about it. Are you following me? Are you with me? Okay. It's not just this spiritual thing, and that's what we have you heard that term? Oh, I'm a very spiritual person. Have you heard that? Right? Well, I have news for you. Everybody is a spiritual person. Alright? Everyone. Because as far as I know, everybody has a spirit. Right? Okay. So it's not just a spiritual thing. It's a physical thing. It's real. Now I could take this further, but I will just mention this. That worship is not a spiritual practice alone. It's a physical practice. Right? Even if we're not speaking, even if we're not saying anything, the moment that we're just thinking about this being, it becomes a physical practice. Amen? All right. So, you know, when you clap, right? When you stand, when you kneel, when you raise up your hands, you are doing a physical thing in relationship with this God. Now, I have only 5 more minutes. The Puerto Rican one, right? Now, we see in the passage that Jacob just moves his family, right? And as he's moving his family, they cross his ford. And then he sends them across a stream. And notice, he sends his wives, sends the servants of the wives, sends the children, he sends all the goods that he had. Everything is coming across the stream. And he is left alone. Now, this might be very good in its own, but we haven't read what comes before this passage, right? And we don't know the context of why this is important. So I'll just tell you a little bit. I just have to tell you that he is afraid. Anybody being afraid? Right? No, he's not only afraid. He's freaked out. Okay? He's freaked out. You know why? Because he knows that he's going to probably face his older brother Esau. Right? As we read beforehand, he's already been noticed that his brother Esau is ahead of him, and that he's on the other side where he's going. And you know what happened with Esau, right?
Yes.
Esau made a promise to him. Next time I see you, I'm going to kill you. So, and Jacob is sitting here all by himself. We are told that he already has prayed to God because of this fear that has come over him. Everything that he has done in his life is coming to this point. And he is looking ahead and says, this might be it. This might be it for me. I mean, all the things that I have done to get ahead, right? All the things that I gathered might be for nothing. He tricked his dad. He's gotten a blessing as the firstborn, although he wasn't, but he was because he's a twin. Ah, you know all that complication, right? But just think about it. This is all in his mind. So now it's a matter of honor for Esau. Because he told him, you got away with this one, but I'm going to get you. And we learned in that passage earlier that Jacob prays to God and says, deliver me. Deliver me from my brother's hand. And he prepared. He prepares for their encounter. Again, those verses before the passage we read, he says that he's telling his servants, hey, we're going to split in two groups. We're going to put one group over here, another group over here. When we see him, you know that if he gets one group, the other one can get away, so that we will not be obliterated, right? So he's thinking, and he's trying to plan all this stuff. And he's at this point. You're considering all this, you know, I can do all this planning in my life, but still I'm at somebody else's mercy. So he faces this reality of the possibility of being dead. And he's left alone. And the most intriguing things happen. A wrestling match. You see, we're not told that this figure presents himself and says, this is me. We're just told that all of a sudden, they start to wrestle. The World Wrestling Entertainment Corporation, you know about that? I knew it, nobody did it. That's WWE, you know, they are the ones that do the wrestling matches, and I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I was into this stuff, right? I was into the Mexican wrestling, you know, they have it in Mascarado de Plata, some guy, you know, they have this face masks and all this stuff, you can never tell all this mystery, and all these fights, they were fake, but they were awesome, because sometimes they were twisted. And turns and all these fights. Anyway, we know from the passage that they struggle. They wrestle. And when we say that they wrestled, that there was a struggle and they were striving together, that struggle alone, to me, is like pregnant with meaning. It just has so much behind it. Because when you are facing an opponent, you know that there is contention, right? There are reasons for each part to get away with a win. Each one of them is fighting for something, whether it's that next win, or there's a belt, or there's interest. So we know that there's this contention, and it implies that there are interests for the fighters. And we also know from the passage that it's an all-night affair. Have anybody wrestled in their life for 5 minutes? Alright? I was in the wrestling team when I was in junior high school. I had 10. 5 minutes is like an eternity.
Yeah.
When you're in the mat. And you're struggling. These guys went at it all night. So what that means to me is that there's perseverance. You know that word? There's perseverance in this struggle. This is not just a matter of, I'm done. Right? Is you got me on this move, I'm going to have another move. I'm going to do something else, but I'm going to continue to work for my goal. What we see at the end of that struggle is that Jacob is triumphant even when he loses. Did you get that? He is triumphant even though he loses. And I tell you why. Because this person that was there had a move that Jacob didn't know about. Acupressure. He had this finger that was super powerful. And the only thing that he had to do was press a little bit on this joint and he would have gotten rid of him, right? But since God sometimes doesn't have all that much control, he just overdid it. Broke it off. Jacob was going to remember that forever. And it's interesting how this pans out. Jacob is left basically with an ailment for life. Perhaps that is like a lifetime reminder of that relationship with God, which really had no other similar thing. There was no rival to that relationship. It was a lifetime reminder for Jacob about who was it that he was talking about when he was talking about God. A limb which did not go away. But he comes out with what he wanted. He got what he wanted. He got that blessing. I will not let you go unless you bless me. I don't know about you, but this is what I read here. This is no longer about his father's faith. This is no longer about his grandfather's faith or relationship with God. That has been set apart, and now this is about Jacob himself and his own relationship with God. He has been presented with all the stories, right? Hey, Abraham heard God's voice. He went and did the thing that he was told to, and guess what? He was told he was going to have a son, and that's where Isaac came about, and you know the story, right? All these things were coming to, and he says, "Oh, that sounds good, but still, I don't have that blessing of having this first hand." And he struggles. He struggles for the blessing. Remember, he has already asked God for his life. He's already asked about this fear, but now he says, okay, my dad's blessing, okay, that's cool. My dad's money, okay, that's cool. My dad's faith is already, that's cool. But I want to have it now on my own. And he's willing to wrestle all night for it. He continues. You see, faith is a funny thing. I was reading a commentary by a professor of Old Testament called Beck, who says, faith is not just a gift from God. Listen to this. It is a lifelong pursuit of God for us and us for God. You see this? This is a dual situation here. There's a duality here. It's a give and a take. And a take and a give. We may never have the complete answers. But in the struggle to hang on to faith in God, we become stronger and we grow. Only got 5 for every minute. Good. I want you to hear this again because I think this really is relevant for today. Faith is not just a gift from God. It is a lifelong pursuit of God for us and us for God. And we may never have the complete answers. But in the struggle to hang on to faith in God, we become stronger and we grow.
Thank you.
Right? Yeah. I think that there's something so important and relevant in these words. Because we think of faith as something that is, again, a consumable. We live in this society that, okay, I'm going to try this relationship, and if it doesn't work, right? Okay, I'm going to try this God or this religion, I'm going to try it, and if it doesn't work, I'm going to try this. Yeah, it sounds like a big thing right now. But we don't necessarily think of relationship with God as a lifelong engagement. Something that we may not understand, but we strive for. Something that we may not get all together at once, but we want it. So perhaps this is a reality in our lives. Perhaps we're just struggling with things, with situations. Maybe we're struggling with people. Maybe we are struggling with purpose in our lives. Maybe we're struggling with our own dreams. Maybe we struggle with realities that are going on at this point and we just don't get it or don't want to face. Or maybe we're struggling with ourselves. Maybe we're struggling with the present, or struggling with the past, or struggling with what's going to happen. And here we sit, right? Looking for the next turn in our lives. And we may be scared. We may be afraid of what could it be. Who do we cry out to?
Jesus.
Who? I mean, why is it that we do? Where does our help come from? Remember that song? Where am I going to get the wisdom that I need to make decisions? And sometimes we look for books, and sometimes we look at TV, and sometimes we look at televangelists. We look at all these resources that are out there, but our life still struggle. God has his ways. When you see this fella who fought for it. He says, I don't get it. I don't know why I'm this buying. I know that I've made mistakes in my life. I know that I messed it up. Maybe I shouldn't have done this. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. But here I am. I need your blessing.
Amen.
And I'm going to go for it. I'm not letting you go. You're going to have to have it. Wow, man. I don't know if you can even imagine this. You're going to have to bless me. I suppose. Now we're going to sing the song, Come Alive. And it has a parenthesis. There are many songs that come alive. But this one says, Come Alive, Dry Bone. And I think this is a call for us. We can think of those who are in our lives. I mean, we can think of friends, sons, daughters, even the song mentions it. But I wonder if this has to do with us. Where our faith sometimes has dried up. And we have just let it be. Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
To the point where it's not alive anymore. To the point where there is not even a struggle. And maybe this is a call for us. Maybe this is a call for us to be saying, God, speak life into us. One second. Before, right?